Good evening, folks. Here we are, our third service being canceled because of the coronavirus. I trust that through this time, though, your faith is growing as we wait patiently on the Lord to lead us through this trial to the other side. I trust that this devotion from Psalm 104 will be a blessing to your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your watch care. And we thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty. We thank you, Father, that none of this that we are going through now has taken you by surprise. So, Lord, we pray for your protection and that you would lead us through this trial. But, Lord, as our hearts are turned now toward your word, I pray that you would open up our eyes and our heart and our ears to your word and help us to hear you and then help this word to change our lives. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to read Psalm 104, so please follow along as I read. Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariots, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valley, which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth. They gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein all things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is the Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy faith, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the faith of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. We're thankful tonight for Psalm 104. And as we go through our outline that you have, notice first with me some word studies to help us understand this psalm. First off, you'll notice we have no information about the author. We don't know who the author is, but the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament, they attribute this psalm to David. This psalm is recited by the Jewish people on the new moon. And this is a psalm of praise to the creator of the world. We see the harmony of the creation in which all are provided for by their creator. This is the poet's version of creation. I'm going to read a quote here from the Treasury of David by Charles Spurgeon. And what we will notice in this, his language, as only Spurgeon can write. So I quote Spurgeon here. Here we have one of the loftiest and longest sustained flights of the inspired muse. The psalm gives an interpretation to the many voices of nature and sings sweetly both of creation and providence. The poem contains a complete cosmos, sea and land, cloud and sunlight, plant and animal, light and darkness, life and death are all proved to be expressive of the presence of the Lord. Traces of the 6 days of creation are very evident. And though the creation of man, which was the crowning work of the sixth day, is not mentioned, this is accounted for from the fact that man is himself the singer. Some have even discerned marks of the divine rest upon the seventh day in verse 31. It is the poet's version of Genesis. Nor is it alone the present condition of the earth which is here the subject of the song. But a hint is given of those holier times when we shall see a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, out of which the sinner shall be consumed, verse 35. The spirit of ardent praise to God runs through the whole, and with it a distinct realization of the divine being as a personal existence, loved and trusted as well as adored. And again, words and phrases and paragraphs as only Spurgeon can write. Some words to help us understand a little bit more about this psalm. And we will remember this word from last week. But the word bless, found in verse 1 and verse 35, the word bless means to praise and to glorify. In verse 17, you will notice the bird mentioned there, the stork. This is a large bird of the heron family, and it's don't think about the stork that we have the vision that delivers the babies, okay? But the stork here stands about 4 foot tall. It has jet black wings and a white body and a large red beak. Do a Google search on this animal, and it's quite interesting looking. In verse 18, the wild goats mention, it is the ibex of modern day Israel, as well as the conies. They are the hyrax or the rock badger of modern day Israel. When Sandy and I and the family had the wonderful experience of being in Israel, we were able to see both of these animals. And again, if you do a Google search on them, you will see what they look like, so that you can get an impression of that. In verse 24, we read the word manifold. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. This word means many. So we could say, O Lord, many are thy works. And then in verse 26, we see the word Leviathan. Leviathan means serpent or dragon. Leviathan is basically the same word in Hebrew as it is in English. And this is a creature of antiquity, and then this creature brought about fear even to the bravest of men. In your leisure, please take the time to read Job 41, where we see a greater detail about the Leviathan, which has caused some to believe that maybe there was a time on earth when dragons actually roamed the earth. So take the time after the study to read Job 41. The outline of the psalm, it outlines into seven parts. Verses 1 through 4, we see seven things characteristic of God's greatness and glory. In verses 5 to 9, God's greatness shown by his relationship to the earth. In verses 10 through 18, God's greatness shown by his care for his creatures. In verses 19 to 24, God's greatness seen in the heavens. Verses 25 to 26, God's greatness seen in the seas. Verses 27 to 32, all the earth dependent upon God. And finally, verses 33 to 35, praise because of God's greatness. So as we will see as we go through this psalm now, we will see the psalmist praising God for his greatness, for his glory, for his majesty that is seen in his creation. So the first stanza, verses 1 to 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds of his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angel spirit, his ministers, a flaming fire. In this first stanza, after calling upon his soul to bless the Lord because of all his greatness, glory, and majesty, the psalmist cites seven things which picture the first 2 days of creation. All of the verbs in these verses are present participles, which means that his works of creation are continuous in a way. For thus preservation is brought about. Light as a garment makes God's works manifested by making him manifest. Read over these verses again in light of the first 2 days of creation in Genesis 1, and your soul will also bless the Lord for his greatness. And of course, we know that from Psalm 19 as well as Romans 1, we know that creation is a revelation of God. And this psalm also helps us to see that. In the second stanza, verses 5 through 9, who laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. In this second stanza, God's greatness is shown by his relationship to the earth. He laid the foundations of it, and it won't be moved forever. That should bring comfort to our hearts that the world is not going to end because of global warming. The world is not going to end because of a nuclear holocaust. But the earth will not be moved forever according to the word of God. So we have great comfort in that. It goes on to say he covered it with water. He drove the waters back into their places and keeps them there by his great restraining power that they may never cover the earth again. Here we have a reference to the third day of creation. And also it's interesting to see how the mention of the tides and how if you've ever been to the beach, you've seen the water go back and come forward and it stays in its bounds that God has made. And what a wonderful thing. And also, I believe, a mention here of the waters returning after the flood of Noah. Notice with me the third stanza, please, verses 10 to 18. He sendeth the springs into the valleys, which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of men. And he may bring, that he may bring forth food out of the earth and wine that maketh glad the heart of man and oil to make his face to shine and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest and for the stork, the fir trees and her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. So in this third stanza, the greatness is God's greatness is shown by his sending water to every beast of the field and the birds of the air to refresh the earth and cause the grass to grow for food for both man and beast. And isn't it wonderful how it mentions in there of the singing of the birds? And isn't it, it's a good sign of spring when you hear a lot of birds once again singing. And also the mention of sap in the trees. And here in New Hampshire, of course, we live in a place and right now is the time for that wonderful maple syrup to be made. And we see these references here. In addition to this, he gives to man that which cheers and strengthens him, the daily provisions of wine, oil, and bread. And these were staples for life in those days. And how wonderfully great is he that he makes provision for even the little conies. Water is essential to life. Suppose that God withheld the water. Nothing could grow. Nothing could live, either in the vegetation or animal kingdom. And we see this sometimes when there are droughts in parts of the world. So we should thank God for life-giving and life-sustaining water. The fourth stanza, please, verses 19 through 24. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness as and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. In this fourth stanza, the fourth day of creation and God's greatness and glory is seen here as he sets the sun and moon in the skies for seasons. When the night comes, the wild beasts roar and cry to God for food. Daytime gives man his opportunities for work, For man differs from all other of God's creatures in having to work for his food. And this because of Adam's sin. He did not have to work for it at first any more than the wild beasts do. And then sin entered, and the curse was that, according to Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. So in the midst of this contemplation of God's greatness, the psalmist breaks out in verse 24 in an exclamation of praise. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. In the fifth stanza, verses 25 and 26, we read, so is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beast. There go the ships. There is the Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. So in the fifth stanza, having dealt with the earth and sky, he now looks out over the sea, that here also is God's greatness manifested. And he observes that the sea bears up the mighty ships on its surface. And he feeds every day the hidden monsters of the deep. Did you ever stop and think how many small fish would be necessary for one day's supply for a whale? Now multiply that by the numbers of whales in the ocean. And then multiply that by their whole life. And yet God gives these creatures of the deep their daily food and without work on their part. A full-grown blue whale is 100 feet long and weighs 190 tons. It eats 40 million krill per day, or about 8,000 pounds a day. And God provides all of that for them. What an awesome God we serve. In this sixth stanza, verses 27 through 32, we read these words. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath. They die and return to the dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit. They are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. In this sixth stanza, this thought has taken hold of the psalmist. And he said, all of these, the monsters of the deep, the animals of the earth, and the birds of the air, all wait for thee. All of them are absolutely dependent upon God, even for their breath. And yet God is so great and so majestic that even his look makes the earth tremble, and the touch of his hand makes the heavens smoke. If he opens his hands, they have all that they need. If he hides his face, they are troubled. And so he prays, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. And in the seventh and final stanza, verses 33 to 35, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. So in this final stanza, the psalmist becomes more personal when he realizes God's greatness, glory, majesty and power, and how everything in earth, sky, and sea is absolutely dependent upon him. He says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. My meditation of him shall be sweet. There is only one thing which strikes a flat note on the psalmist's harp, and that is the presence of sin in the world. And so the psalm ends with a prayer that this shall be removed. So sure is he that this shall be, that he closes as he began, bless thou the Lord, O my soul. So tonight, my dear friends, as we gather as families in our home to pray, may we bless the Lord. May we praise and glorify his name for his glory, for his greatness, for his majesty that is seen in his wonderful creation, and also for the way he cares and provides for us. Please, as always, in the coming week, take the time to read Psalm 105 once a day for the whole week. Let's close in prayer, please. Our Father, we thank you for your greatness. We thank you for your glory. We thank you, Lord, for your majesty, which we get to see every day in thy creation. And we also get to behold in thy word. And Lord, we thank you for your daily provision for us. And we thank you, Lord, for the greatest provision that we could ever ask or need, and that is the provision of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. So tonight, Lord, as we pray together, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to remember thy greatness, thy glory, and thy majesty. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.